I haven't got time to teach everything on prophecy, so I thought we'd do some demonstrations. And you've just had prophetic singing. Okay, and that is something that should happen. There should be prophetic singing from your worship team. It's not just about singing songs. We say that, but actually often that's what it happens to be. But you need to move in the area of prophetic singing. I thought it was brilliant. Wonderful. Praise God.
Amen.
And that word that you sang has spoken to people tonight already. It's gone into their hearts. You need to know that. And they'll respond to it later. And then we have something that's called prophetic psalmistry, where basically you take a psalm, and it's a psalm that has not only got elements of what it's saying, but it's prophetic to either the individual or the church at that moment in time. And so it can be spoken over them, and it releases them because it's the word of God, but it's prophetic in what it's saying. Now, some of you weren't here today, earlier, so I just need to bring you up to scratch, because otherwise you'd be thinking, what's all this about? So you're going to get it. I'm not going to go through it all because I haven't got time, but I'll just quickly ask. We started this day with identity, knowing who you are. It's one of the biggest problems in the church. It's the biggest problem in the nation, probably, and in some organization. Who are you? And often as a pastor, it's something I get confronted with by individuals. And so we dealt with part of your identity today. And we spoke about being prophet, priest, prince, and princess. That's your identity. That's who you are. You need to know from Scripture, and if you don't believe me, go back and listen to what I've said this afternoon. I haven't got time. But that's the areas that you are. So it means you can operate in those areas as a prophet, a priest, a prince, and a princess. Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah?
Amen. To know that's who you are.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah? And that's how you should be when you're together, and it's how you should be before God. Have I been moved? Am I not central? Have I gone left wing here?
Yeah.
Or to your right wing? Can I come back? You might. Okay. Okay. Now, the second session I want to deal with is how do you start with this thing called prophecy? How do you begin? How do you then develop? Because that's what we're here for. Hearing from God, and then it being a prophetic weekend. But as I expressed to you this morning, prophecy isn't for the chosen few, it's for everybody. Read your scriptures, it becomes very clear that prophecy is for everyone. Now, at the moment, you've seen some of the chosen few prophesying. Well, that's not how it should be. You know, I find it's very dangerous if people sit near me in a congregation because God starts to speak to me about them. And I'm sat there thinking, like I said to one of the guys, why me, God? Why don't you have somebody else do this? And he starts to speak to me about that particular person. And I don't believe that's just for me. But it's something God chooses to use me in. And I'm happy with that. As I said, I start with small steps. But I think for many people, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are a mystery. And they shouldn't be. Paul makes it clear that he did not want us ignorant concerning the spirituals. He says that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. He wants us to know what it means when we talk about the spirituals, the spiritual gifts. He wants us to be aware of what we're talking about. And although the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are supernatural, let's not get away from that, they are not to be spooky or mysterious. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You don't have to work yourself up into this. You don't have to be doing chants and jumping up and down. I've ministered with John Wimber, and I've dealt with stuff where I've had people, you know, roaring like lions, pogoing, banging their heads into plaster walls, all at the same time. I had three of them, and I'm ministering with them at one time, trying to sort this out. And we had some situations in the church when, you know, this kind of move of the Holy Spirit was moving. And I had one guy, you know, and he decided laughter, he'd be laughing all the time. And he wouldn't stop laughing, and it got a bit, you know, like, difficult. And God just showed me very clearly straight away. He said, just get somebody to take him out into one of the other rooms and let him laugh out there. And if he carries on laughing, that's fine. Bring him back in. But if it's just him, he'll stop laughing. So I learned things like this. And of course, this is what happened with this guy. He was just doing it for attention. Came back into the meeting quite as anything. So we need to learn about these things, these supernaturals, these spirituals. But they aren't spooky or mysterious. For many, the people who have problems with the gifts of the Holy Spirit is one of practice rather than principle. They're okay with them in principle. Look at the scriptures, they agree with them, they say, yeah, that's all right. But they have some questions. How do I get started? And am I allowed to try? That's what I was saying this morning. Some people even disqualify themselves and say, oh, well, I'm not good enough. Well, you're not good enough. Neither am I. But by grace, and by Jesus' righteousness, I am. You don't get qualifications for this. You can't go to college and learn about it. It's not something you can pick up, you know, and get a, you know, certificate in. Oh, this man can speak in tongues. He can perform miracles. He can heal the sick. That's it. No. Okay. And I learned very early on in my time of receiving the things of the Spirit. A lot of people wanted to put it down, you know, don't have anything to do with it, because people were abusing it. And we see it in the Corinthian church, same thing. We see them abusing the gifts of the Spirit that were there. But as one wise man once said, and I believe it's true, he says this. He said, the answer to abuse is not disuse, but proper use.
Yes.
Okay? The answer to abuse is not disuse, but proper use. And that's what we need to see in the church today. That's what you need to see in this church today. I've been to many Pentecostal churches that are Pentecostal in name, and that's it. There's no manifestations of the Spirit. They've gone. They're as dead as a dodo. Now, why they're like that, I don't know. Because they really, God really blessed them and spoke to them. And so I want to take you through some helps, really, to get you started if you've not started. And I can't get past number one because, to me, like today when I was speaking about it, the first thing is you need to develop that relationship with the Father. All right, you've just got to spend time with your Father and develop the time. You've got to get to know Him and His voice. Like I was saying to you, get to know who you are, that's key. But now I'm moving it slightly to say you need to get to know God and you need to get to know His voice. You need to spend time in His presence. We sing about it. I've heard so many songs about spending time in God's presence. I've heard so many times about, you know, I want to see your face. And yet I could probably ask most people here, how many times have you seen God's face? And yet it's available to you. How many times have you heard God speak to you directly? You've got to spend time in His presence. And as I say to, I've said to my church, there is no shortcut in this. There's no quick way around it. You've got to spend time in His presence. A relationship takes time. Am I right? Those of you who are married, hallelujah. How long have we been married now, love? Remind me. Don't put me on the spot again, please. 40.
Have a guess.
46. Oh, yes. Hot chocolate for me tonight? No. You know, but that has come over many years through spending time. You know, building the relationship, communicating, talking to each other. And I find it unbelievable as Christians that we believe Jesus, when He was crucified, restored this relationship with our Father. That we suddenly, as I said this morning, were adopted sons and daughters, we're brought back into the family of God, and yet we don't talk to Him. What's all that about? Well, somebody explain that to me. And worse, we don't listen to Him. Yeah? I always thought communication was a two-way thing. And yet I spend so many Christians, you know, so busy talking and speaking and asking and all the rest of it, but they never stop to listen. I remember speaking to a group of young guys from the Pentecostal church who've been taken out, given a year to the Lord. And I remember speaking, not just guys, girls as well. And we went, and they were used to praying together and all this. And we got into them, he said, I'd done some teaching with them. And I said, right, okay, we're going to pray. But we're going to pray differently. And they kind of, oh. And I said, I don't want you to say anything. I just want you to listen. Oh, man. I might as well have thrown a bomb in the room. It was like, what? No talk, no talking. Just listening. And it was like I'd presented something they'd never met before, because it was all speaking and no listening. And I want to tell you, God wants to speak to you every day. Do you believe me? Every day he wants to speak to you. Psalm 32. Turn with me. Psalm 32, verse 8. You should. Where are your Bibles, guys? Come on. Where are your Bibles? Get your Bibles. Psalm 32, verse 8. This is what God's saying. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. That's what he says in verse 8. But we're like verse 9. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding. What's all that about? And yet we live our Christian lives like mules, like donkeys, like horses, you know, with no understanding. And God is so willing, so readily available to speak to you and show you and direct you. And yet we don't listen to him. I'll tell you, it would save you a lot of work. Yeah? It would save you a lot of heartache if you listen to him, because he wants to speak to you. I said to you this morning, when God spoke to me as a pastor, and he said, just give me an open page and I'll speak to you every day. I want to promise you, go and get a diary from one of these cheap shops down the road and buy it, £1, £2, you might get it for £1 now because we're halfway through a year, or further. You might get next year's if you're lucky. But get a diary and every day open the Word of God and do your reading. And I'll tell you this, as you go into prayer, as you read the Word of God, what I do, if I'm reading a portion, it might say like Galatians 3 verse 6, and this is the verse, but then I'll read the whole of Galatians. And the Holy Spirit just gets hold of it, and he speaks to me. Every day. And I write a verse down, and I write it out, and when I've written them all out, I look at them again, and it's like God speaks to me. I want to tell you, so once he spoke to me, and he told me that scripture about no broken bones. Remember the Old Testament? Yeah, that, you know, the righteous man will not have any broken bones. Yeah, and that's why Jesus, they didn't break his legs on the cross. And this was spoken to me. And I read it and I thought, that's a bit strange. But I wrote it down because I felt the Holy Spirit revealing it to me. 2 days later, I was playing a cricket match. Okay, and I was doing very well. Playing well, I think I scored about 20 odd runs. I thought, oh, doing okay. And once we got to 25, we had to retire because it was one of these short overs. And everything's going well. Brought this lad on. I didn't think he was that fast, really. But he bowled this ball, bounced, hit me straight in the cheek here, just under the eye. As soon as it hit me, God brought the word back to me. As soon as that, he said, you won't need to go to hospital. You broke no bones. Wow. Okay. When you're a pastor, I used to find numerous times, God would give me, you know, words, and I thought, okay. I'd go and visit somebody who was sick or was struggling, and it was like it came back. Bang. Why? Because the Word of God sets you free.
Yes.
The Word of God sets you free. So you need to develop this relationship of hearing. In education now, they call it listening skills. They've gone further. They call it, have you got listening skills? Well, I tell you, a lot of Christians haven't got listening skills. We need to listen to what God's saying. You might as well pack up and go home now if you're not prepared to listen, because that's where the prophecy comes from. It's not coming from John or from me. We're not making these things up. We're listening to what God is saying. So develop this relationship. I'd been pastor for 23 years, and I'm nearly a year retired If you have problems with me using the word retire, come and see me later. I'll explain it to you. And anyhow, about 18 months before I retired, I prepared the church for my retirement. As I said, I've been in the church many, many years, over 40 years. And they've got used to me and I've got used to them. I think we're the oldest members of the congregation. Yeah. And no, we've been there the longest. We're not the oldest. No. Okay. And I'd prepared them over 18 months. I started preaching on Joshua and showing them about the transition over to from Moses to Joshua. And but we didn't see any successor. We interviewed various people. I even mentioned it to your pastor here, whether he'd consider coming. And yet God's call is here, praise God. But I'd mentioned it to one or two others too. And I think we interviewed about two or three people. And then we were in a prayer meeting. We were praying, really praying. We'd been fasting as a church. And one of the ladies moved in the prophetic. And all she said was this: I've got the man. God says, I've got the man. From that moment in time, that was it. I just rested, trusted. We didn't do anything else, really. And within, I think, a month of that, we'd got the man. And he's with us now. He's doing a great job, young man. 39-year-old. Not as pretty as me, but... but he's doing a fantastic job. And the other thing about moving to the prophetic is because you're spending this time with God, God starts to burden you sometimes about things. And you feel his concerns and his desires. And then you're beginning to learn how to prophesy. When you start to listen to him. And the thing I spoke about this afternoon, is something that God's burdened me with over, I'd say, about 3 or 4 years. This whole thing of identity and your identity being stolen. And it's been on my heart, a real problem for many Christians. And so he does this when you get to know him, and he puts these things in you. When praying for a situation or an individual, we sometimes tend to concentrate on a specific point. One of my elders, way back, he's retired now, he's in his 80s, and he came forward for healing of his knee. And so I went to pray with him, and as I'm praying with him, God started to just ask me to ask him some questions. And I believe this wasn't a prophecy, it's more a word of knowledge, which often works with prophecy. And God said to me, ask him what he did when he was a young man with his knee. And he used to be a PTI instructor in the RAF. And he's done royal tournaments and stuff like that. And he said, when we were younger in the RAF, we had to do what we call one-legged star jumps. So he literally had to go down on one leg, kneel down as far as possible, and then he had to thrust off that one leg as high and jump out like a star. And it was that that had caused his knee the problem. And so it was a consequence of actions. So God said, that's the reason. Okay. I didn't heal him, but he showed him what the reason was for it. Okay, so sometimes God, when you go out to, you might just go out to pray for them for healing, but then God says, whoa, 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 step back. There's things here I want to reveal. Okay, so there are times when you need to just tune in to what God is saying. When you're praying for an individual, give thanks for them. And John Wimber, he used to teach a particular practice in ministry, which I found very useful, and I still use. In fact, I use it tonight with, is it Karen? Because sometimes what we forget is that the Holy Spirit is a much better counselor than we are. And the great thing about him is, he's also a better revealer than we are. Okay. I don't know Karen. I've never met her before, I don't think. Oh, I'd have known you, because, you know, beautiful lady. I won't miss you. Just embarrass you a bit more now. And I really felt God wanted to speak to her, but I didn't know what about. And I thought, well, I'm not thrashing around here, and I'm not. I just said to her, I'm going to just ask you to close your eyes, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come on you. Yeah? And God will start to speak to you. Let's see. Let's take it from there. Which is what we did. Now, in a lot of people, the Holy Spirit then starts to really reveal to them. Because, of course, the person who's being dealt with is them. It's not about you. It's not about how good you are in ministry or whatever. It's about them. It's about God dealing with them, about God healing them or releasing them or setting them free. They're really why you are there. You know, I'm here for you tonight. I'm not here. I've been preaching since we're 18. I don't need to do this anymore, you know. But I'm here for you, and that's how we've got to be when we're in ministry. So with Karen, I asked her, and we just waited a bit, and I said, what's gone? And she said, no, nothing. Bless her. These are the hard ones. You know, sometimes it's easier. And maybe she didn't know me, she didn't trust me, I don't know. Sometimes that can happen. And then God just started to show me, and he just said to me, ask her to put her arms out like this. Remember what I said to you about little steps? That's all I had. I just said, just ask her to put her arms out. I said, just put your arms out. As I asked her to put her arms out, God then started to show me this kind of balance, I hope you don't mind this, this kind of balancing act that was going on. And he then started to develop it. I won't go any further because obviously there's some personal stuff there. Do you understand? So it's listening. Listening to what God's saying, being prepared to move with the Spirit, step by step, little by little, not trying to dream something up, invent something. Forget it. You know, it's about what the Holy Spirit is revealing. And I think this is like one of the first steps in this realm of prophecy. The first point I make is develop the relationship with your Father in heaven and learn to listen. The second point in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1 is this. There's got to be a desire to prophesy. You will never prophesy if you don't want to. Simple as that. There is no compulsion from God. You must have a desire to be used by God in prophecy. That's why Paul urged them, desire to prophesy. Prophecy is not to elevate it in any way. That's wrong motives. Prophecy, as far as we see in the New Testament, I'm talking about the gift of prophecy now, has three purposes mainly. One, it is to speak to men and women supernaturally, and listen to this now, and encourage them. It's there to encourage them. It is not to be used as an instrument of correction and rebuke in the church. That is not what it's there for. That is done. It has its place, correction and rebuke. That should be done by the application of the word in teaching, by doctrine, and by discipleship. Am I clear? All right, so don't use prophecy as a way of getting at somebody or trying to bring correction. The second thing is, we're told that prophesy is there to edify the church, to build it up. Yeah? So when I'm asking these guys to sing prophetically, to bring a psalm, a prophecy, it's the idea is to build up the church. Okay, for the future, for what God's got ahead. The Lord Jesus builds his church, and he uses prophecy as one of his tools. That's why it's there. The written and prophetic word complement each other. That's the great thing about it. And it's the work of the Spirit in both cases. So when Steve's doing his teaching and his preaching with you, he's applying the word of God to you. Okay? And that's a gift as much as the prophetic. Okay, but it's the word of God. Some people would say the prophetic word is the now word of God. I don't always go along with that because I think some of the words that come out of this are very much the now word of God to us. Okay, so that's where we need to recognize it. So the gift of prophecy is usually confirmed to the church. There are some exceptions to that, but mainly it is to the church. Okay, again, you find in Scripture. Now, this morning I distinguish between the gift of prophecy and the role of the prophet. Again, you need to listen to what I said today. I'm not going back on that, but the two things are there. Now, the role of the prophet, the gift of the Spirit, tends to be used in a church context. Okay, that's where it mainly is used, by believers, to believers. There are exceptions where Paul speaks and he encourages them to use prophecy because if the unbeliever comes in, right, when he's talking about coming into the church, so it's still in the church, the unbeliever comes in, the prophetic word will speak straightly to them. If you speak in tongues, you know what the scripture says, and nobody interprets, the unbeliever thinks what? Thinks you're mad. So every tongue needs an interpretation in the church. And in fact, Paul equates the two. He said prophecy, gifts with interpretation are like the same thing. That's how he views it. Okay. The role of the prophet, however, big P, becomes God's mouthpiece, often to cities like York. You could bring somebody in who is a prophet and recognize that's his role to the church. That's his gift given to the church as a prophet who comes in and brings a prophecy over the whole city of York or the whole nation or the whole world in some cases. Now, I believe in my time, people like Gerald Coates, who you've heard of, Gerald Coates, most of you. You could go and listen to Gerald, because he travelled around a lot, and you would listen to him, and every time he's saying the same message. Right? Because he had a message for the nation. And I believe he was a prophet to the nation in his day. I think that's what he was. The third thing about the gift of prophecy is this. It exhorts the church. Now, this means... This word means it's a calling near. It's asking you to come to the comforter. Come closer. Come and sit on his knee. Come and listen to him. Withdraw from the world for a split second. It's busy out there. All right? But this whole thing about, you know, prophecies to bring you in to the Spirit. All right? And he's pulling you out of your situations and saying, come, come and listen. Come and hear what I have to say to you. Okay, so those were the three things. So, you know, speak supernaturally and encourage, edify, exhort the church. I want to give an example of this. Is we've had a young man come back to our church recently. His mum and dad I've known a long time. Him I've known sporadically. I don't know whether he's a Christian or not. He used to go to church down in South Africa, which is where this couple came from. But since he's been in this country, he's hardly been to church at all. And he's had, I think, one or two girlfriends in his time. And he was living with one recently, and it all came to an end. It all went, you know, terrible, bad news. And it brought him back to the church. And often he'd come, he was in tears, devastated. And one day, you know, he was sat nearby, and God just spoke to me about his situation. And God had given me a prophetic word for him. And I went and spoke this prophetic word. And it was like God had just literally taken him out of this world, taken him out of this distress, this upset, and brought him this word of healing, which was incredible. And how God was going to deal with him. And that was the word to him. And we need times like that where God pulls us and says, look, come aside. I've got this word, this now word for you, which I want to speak to you. Often a person moving in the prophetic, you will find, is also developing a growing care for people. That's what it comes out of, that they really care for people. And so they move in this prophetic way because God is using them more and more to be able to speak to them. When we begin to prophesy, simply ask God to keep you humble. Great danger with these ministries is that for some reason people attach them to themselves. Remember all the time, they are gifts of the Spirit. Don't belong to you. Don't belong to you. The gifts of the Spirit. Yeah? And he distributes them severally as he wills. But don't get puffed up in it. You know, don't suddenly think you are something. Keep humble. Seek to bless others. And I believe God will give you the tools to do it time and time again. Okay, that's the second thing. The third thing, what time are we finishing, Steve? Okay. I won't be long, but I need to move. I want to talk to you about speaking in tongues because, again, before you prophesy, I would recommend you speak in tongues. Okay. I recommend that you're baptized in the Spirit in your private life, you know, and in church you can speak in tongues. Tongues, a lot of people may say, are the least of the gifts. But I think it's very precious. It's still a gift of the Spirit.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? Very precious. And the great thing, I've loved it. I mean, God baptized me in the Spirit in 1967. And I've been speaking in tongues ever since. The night somebody laid hands on me, my pastor, and I was baptized in his front room, it was like Concorde had taken off. It was like, woof. And I went into the air, and I was in the air for 2 weeks. I was going out with Anne at the time. I don't know if she caught with me. I wasn't married to her then. We were just loving each other like we did. And I was in cloud nine for 2 weeks. I didn't come down. It was like, wow. It was such a powerful experience. And I spoke in tongues straight away. And the great thing about it is that it enables you to communicate with God in a most unique and yet supernatural way. It's very powerful, very powerful. And, you know, when people ask me about it, oh, well, I had a young man in the church. This is really funny. A young man, one of my elders, and it's before I retired. And he'd not been baptized in the Spirit. You might think, how did he make elder? Well, that's the way I do things, you know. But we talked to him. Dave Playle spent some time. We were talking about Dave Playle earlier. And Dave Playle spent some time with him, and we were saying to him about this baptism. And he got the whole idea. He knew about when you were converted, how the Spirit came in. So he knew that was an experience you had at your conversion. And he was absolutely right. That's clear from Scripture. Something that we get. But he couldn't get the idea. He thought, that's it. I don't need this, you know, speaking in tongues and baptism. I said, no. I'm all right. I'm okay. And he carried on, and we chatted to him, and no pressure, we just said this, you know, this song. And then after a few discussions, I know he said to me once, he said, well, I'd like to prophesy, not speaking. I'd prefer prophesying. And I just left it, I have a little laughter inside. And I said to him, John, I said, you know what, I want to tell you, speaking in tongues is the easiest gift. And he looked at me with like, what? I said, speaking in tongues is the easiest gift to use. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, the great thing about it is nobody can contradict you. It's true, isn't it? It's true, isn't it? You know, shara karamatusa karabakata sukarabakata sha. And you're thinking, and? You know, because it's nobody can come back at you, can they? Really? You're on a winner. Yeah, that's right. But obviously when it's interpreted, then it brings a dimension. Because then you're going to start speaking English. So it's the easiest to use. No one can control it. It's a real prayer language. We might not understand what the Holy Spirit is saying through us, but we can be absolutely certain that prayer in tongues is made precisely according to God's will. That's the truth of it. That's how it is. Speaking in tongues can be used anywhere. I want to give you a testimony. We were traveling to Zambia, to a place called Ndola, which we fly into, but we have to get there normally. We used to have to get there via other places. So this year we went in via Johannesburg, which is a bit crazy because you like fly past the hill and then have to fly back up. And our friend in Zambia, he'd done the booking for the trip from Ndola, from Johannesburg up to Ndola. And anyhow, we got to Johannesburg and we arrived, and my wife went into the office to say, right, we're ready to get on our plane up to Ndola. And they're going down the passenger list and they said, your name's not here. So I was outside with the cases, or just like in the doorway, and I heard this. And I've learned some truths. Another message I'll bring many, if you invite me back, is the whole message on Thanksgiving. And God had spoken to me and taught me about Thanksgiving. And I'd learned to give thanks in all circumstances. And this was one of these circumstances. And I thought, God, we need you here. And I just started to give God thanks. And I went outside the office, only a smallish office, and I went outside with loads of other people, and I just started speaking tongues. I just started praying tongues. I just felt God leading me to pray in tongues. And within, I'd say, about 5 minutes, Anne came outside with the tickets, and she told me the reason. It was one of those cases where we'd like flown out of England on the 8th, but we'd not arrived till the following day on the 9th. So we got our details of flying out on the 8th and thought we were flying up on the 8th as well. So we should have been on yesterday's plane. But praise God, he sorted it all out. And I believe it's this whole thing of being able to give thanks in all circumstances. And God orders things. But I did speak in tongues quite powerfully. I don't know what the other people thought, but you know. It was an international airport, so they may have thought I came from another place. So, speaking in tongues, do it. You know, if you've not been baptized in the Spirit, respond tonight. Amen. You know, let's not mess about. God's got it for you. Yeah, he's got gifts for you. He wants to pour them into you, you know. Be free. You've sang about being free. There's no freer place to be. Fourth point is this. When you speak in prophecy, give what you have. Give what you have. When God brings revelation, whether through that still small voice, a picture or a dream, don't add or subtract from it. That's it. That's all you give. Okay? This Nick I was telling you about earlier, about 2 weeks after I'd given him this initial prophecy, God gave me another one, and it was this. It's okay. That was it. That was the prophetic word into his life. It's okay. And I said, God, can I? No. Right? It's okay. That's all you need to say to him. That's all I said to him. I said, Nick, God's got a word for you. And he might have been thinking he's going to give me a 3-pager here. It's okay. He came back to me last week and he said to me, Ray, he said, you don't know how much that meant. He said, you just don't know how much that meant to that moment in time. So God gives us these words. Give him, just speak what he gives you. Sometimes people have their own words, because they know the situation of the individual. Difficult when you're a pastor, because often we'll know people, what they're going through. So to give them a prophetic word, they could say, well, you know. And that's the great thing about coming to places like this, we don't know. John and I don't know you. Sometimes people want, and you may, when you move in the gift of prophecy, you may want to give words of application. It's not your business to apply the word. That is not for you. All right? You've done your bit when you give them the prophetic word. Leave it at that. Let them apply it, or let somebody else apply it. Let their pastor apply it. It's not for you. Don't add to it. In the gift of prophecy, you bring the revelation of God. That's it. Next thing, don't give authority to it. When I was first learning about prophecy and words and so on, you'd always get this, wouldn't you? They'd say the prophecy and say, thus saith the Lord. Have you heard that? It was given in the good old English. Thus saith the Lord. Or, the Lord says. And it was like, well, I'm giving some authority to it now. That's it. That's the stamp of approval. Well, no, it ain't. And don't use it. You will make mistakes. Yeah, you will make mistakes when you prophesy. Why? Because the word says so. We prophesy in part. Okay, that's all we do sometimes. Yeah? Great man of God, I think he's dead now. A guy called Ken McGreevy, some of you know him. He used to be part of Roger Foster's team down in London. And he was used prophetically all throughout this nation. Came to our church in the early days and he had this kind of ministry of speaking prophetic words after he preached. But what he used to do, I don't use this method, unless God tells me to. But when he preached, he'd say, right, I'd like you to come forward. I'd like you to, you form a line here. You form a line here. You form a line here. And then he'd start to add to it. And he'd have you all coming out the front. So, and then he'd come along and he'd start to prophesy over all these people he called out. Well, I was one of them. So he called out. And at that moment in time, I was the main elder in the church. There was no pastor. I was the only elder in the church, I think, at the time. And, Dave Player had come by then, I think. Dave Player was with us. Maybe Dave was the leader at that time. And he started giving these prophecies. And he asked me to come forward. And he prophesied over me. Now, you've got to know that at this moment in time, a more parochial guy you could have met than me. The only church that mattered was my church. The only thing I was interested in ministering in was my church. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't go preaching anywhere. Well, I did. I preached some places. But I tended to, my main focus was on that group of people. And that's where I believe God wanted me to work and so on. Anyhow, he's prophesying. He said, you're a man of adventure. What? I'm thinking, what cloud are you on? You know. You're allowed to think this about prophets, by the way. And then he went on and he started to speak about my dad. And he said about my dad, he said, my dad was still alive. And he was saying about your dad, he said, your dad's not been there for you. And he said various other things. Now, the first part of the prophecy was unbelievable. That came true. I mean, I've traveled the world now. I've been to many different churches, spoken at conferences and stuff. And God has given me a heart for the wider church of God in a great way. At one point, I could have done an African tour. I had one of these situations where I got invited to Malawi, the Congo, South Africa, Zambia, Uganda, all in one year. And I could have kind of, and I thought, God, this can't be right. This, I can't do this. Pastor in this church at the time. So. No. And you have to learn in those days to say, no, this is where I'll focus. This is where I'm going to focus. Excuse me, my voice is going a bit. And so, the adventure part of it was true. But the second part was untrue. Because I was my dad's favorite son. I have an older brother who used to come in for it because he was number one son. And he used to get battered a bit. Not badly, you know, not in the wrong sense, but he was number one son. And my dad dealt with him more harshly than he dealt with me. So I was favourite son. I've got a younger sister, but she was 12 years younger, you know, wasn't present for a lot of my growing up days, really. So I think his second part he got wrong because I love my dad and he loved me, you know, and it was great to have that relationship with him. So you won't always get it all right. And what I'd suggest to you is this. If you're prophesying over somebody or into a situation, it's better to say, I think the Lord is saying. Okay. Yeah. I think the Lord is saying. Okay. So don't try and give it some authority. The last thing I want to just say is this. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. So don't allow prophets to kind of throw the responsibility back on you. It's not on. As a prophet, you have a responsibility for the prophecies you give and the way you deliver them. That's your responsibility. Prophesy according to your faith. That's the other thing that Paul would say to you in Romans 12 verse 6. Prophesy according to your faith. So if you're a beginner in using the gift of prophecy, I would not expect you to be prophesying a national revival. Okay, I don't think that's where God's taking you at that moment in time. Because it's above your faith level at that stage. Prophecy also should cause faith to rise in the recipient. Should really kind of go, whoa, there's something happening here. But also, it should have a similar response to the person who's prophesying. Okay, so you get a similar kind of response. Right, I'm going to finish there. So, that's how you do it. Hallelujah.
Can I ask a question?
You can, I don't know if I can answer it, but... I think what you do with prophecies is, one of the things you must do with prophecies, somebody used to say, put it on the back burner. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Weigh it up, yeah, kind of thing. Now, I think that was the way I used to be. I was very much like that. I used to put things like that and just say, well, you know, okay, let's see what happens. And of course, that's what I did with these prophecies. And the first one suddenly kind of took off. I thought, whoa, he was absolutely spot on here. But then the second one, it was like, no, it didn't settle with me. And it's not a big deal. He's man. He's a human. You know, he gets it wrong, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there was a lady in our church who was from Mauritius. She was a great lady, a midwife, and... she'd been in our church many years, been saved in our church, and she was my treasurer at the time, really useful, blessed her. And this lady came along and gave her this prophetic word, because she was single, so she was vulnerable in that area of her life, and gave her this prophetic word about God was going to take her back to Mauritius and going to provide her with a man. And so she came to see me. She said, Ray, I need to tell you this. So I'm going to put my home up for sale. I've already told my line manager at the hospital that I'll be stepping down from my job and all the rest of it, blah, 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 blah. And she said, I need to give up the treasurer's job in the church. 2 years later, she was still in the church. Still in a job, praise God, still in a home. That person who gave the prophecy never ran it by me at all. You know. So, you know, you need to be careful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. So, I'm going to do what I told you I do. And then we'll see what God does. Is that right? Because he does it a lot better than I do it. And I trust him. Yeah? So we're just going to ask him to come and to speak to you first. Maybe about something you heard this afternoon or something you've heard this evening. Or maybe you've never been baptized in the Spirit. Maybe, you know, you need healing. Maybe, I don't know, wherever you are, you know, you desire the gift of prophecy. John, Steve, and I, who tend to be the people administering, but I want to say, you know, I feel free, you know, if God's been using you in this area,